Father in heaven, we thank you for the praise and worship that has been offered to thee today from our hearts, Lord. We praise thee and thank thee, Lord, that you are our God, our Redeemer, our Savior, our best friend, our King. Thank you, Lord, when all desert us, Lord, you never will. Thank you, Lord, when no one else can help us, Lord, you know the way through the wilderness, and all we have to do is follow. We thank you, Lord, as was even quoted in the prayer meeting before the service, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer, of course, is no. Thank you, Lord, you're able. And we ask thee now to help us, give us focus, concentration of heart and mind as we consider thy word. And Lord, make this a blessing to us, to the edifying of the body of Christ, the believer. And if there be one sitting amongst us who's not yet a Christian, we pray, Lord, that you will make them so today and bring them savingly to thyself. Fill me, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit. Give me his help, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I just want to focus our attention for a few moments this morning upon the verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 4. And there we read, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, verse 22 mentions the old man. And verse 24 mentions the new man. And what the scripture is telling us here, that in order to put off the old man, which is corrupt, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, in order to do that, putting it very plainly, in order to go from the old to the new, the Bible says we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Are you today being renewed in the spirit of your mind? Now, if you keep your finger there and come to Matthew chapter 22, I want to read a passage there. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. The Lord Jesus, as so often was the case, is being challenged by the Pharisees. The Sadducees, they were always trying to trip him up, always trying to expose him on some point of doctrine or practice. And one of them, on this occasion, verse 36 of Matthew 22, he says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Which is the great commandment? Jesus said unto him, look at this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So it's all summed up, Christ said, in these two commandments: thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But what I want to point out to you today is this, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our mind, as well as our heart, as well as our soul. We are to love the Lord emotionally, the seat of our affections and emotions, our heart. We are to love the Lord spiritually, from our spirit. But we are to love the Lord with our mind, intellectually. Now, don't be afraid of that word. You might be like me, not too intellectual at all. But with what you have, heart, soul, and mind, we're to love the Lord. And I want to focus this morning on this part of our makeup, the mind. The mind. Now, it's interesting, if you come back to Ephesians chapter 4, that scripture, verse 23, look at it very carefully. Because remember, in the original, every word was chosen by the Holy Spirit and given to the men that wrote the scripture. God's very words were in their mouth, and they wrote it down. And the verse says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now notice those two words. Notice the word spirit, and notice the word mind. You see, this is a spiritual matter. You know, I looked up the English dictionary, and being an Ulster Scot, I need an Ulster dictionary, an English dictionary rather. But I looked up the word brain in the English dictionary. Have you all got a brain this morning? Did you bring it with you? Oh, listen, listen. There are services today, there are meetings today, and you might as well leave your brain at the door for all the use it will be to you. But we're to love the Lord with all our mind, and we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, I looked up the word brain, and this is what Collins English Dictionary said. It is the whitish, soft mass in the skull in which are the nerve centers, the intellect, mental capacity, understanding, intelligence. That's our brain. Don't want to put you off your dinner, but on one occasion in my life, I was invited to an autopsy. I declined to go. But you know, they can open your skull, they can lift out your brain, they can put it on a set of scales and weigh it, and they can dissect it, slice it up. You see, your brain is a physical part of the physical man or woman. Let me ask you a question. Well, I'll put it to myself. If I die before the Lord comes, what will happen to my brain? It'll be buried with the rest of me. It'll probably lie in my villa cemetery, Newton Orange. But what will happen to my mind? Is my mind going to be buried with my brain? Well, I looked up the word mind in Collins English Dictionary. Now, this is not a Christian book. This is not a fundamentalist book. This is the dictionary. Listen carefully. Listen to the difference between your brain and your mind. The mind is the intellectual faculty, the understanding, memory, opinion, inclination, purpose. It's synonymous with consciousness, spirit, disposition. I say all that to simply tell you this. Your mind belongs to your soul, not your brain. Oh, I'm sure there's some sort of relationship. You see, the believers who are in heaven this morning, the dear believers who have left us and they're now the church triumphant, You read the book of Revelation. Are the people in heaven out of their mind? Are they mindless? No. Read their songs. Read what they're singing. Read what they're saying as they praise God. They're praying. They're praising. Because their mind went with them. Glory to God. Because your mind belongs to your soul. You see, in the book of Genesis, when it says that we were made in the image of God, that has got nothing to do with our physical appearance. God is a spirit, but it has to do with our spiritual appearance. It has to do with our spirit, our soul, our mind, our conscience. And that's what was created and made in the image of God. You know, the Bible has much to say about our mind. Think of that lovely verse in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. "I shall keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." You know what robs a believer of their peace? When they get their mind stayed on anything else or something else other than the Lord. The Bible speaks in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, about readiness of mind. Sometimes there, maybe when I'm going to presbytery, or Brother Roy McMillan, who's our clerk of session, he usually drives us there, and Roy's never late. Roy's always early. Roy always catches you out. And sometimes I'll be sitting in the armchair, my coat on, my suit on, my coat on, a Bible in my hand. I'm ready to go. I'm just waiting for the toot-toot of the horn. Well, we should be in all readiness of mind. The Bible talks about our willing mind. The Bible talks about lowliness of mind. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:13, "Gird up the loins of your mind." The Bible speaks about those who are feeble-minded, those who are double-minded, and then those who are high-minded, to think too much of themselves. Look at Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans chapter 12. Very familiar scripture, but let's look at it again. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The renewing of your mind. Now you consider what the Bible says about the unconverted, or we when we were unconverted. In that portion we read in Ephesians chapter 4, did you notice it there? Verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." The vanity of their mind. You see, you think a man created in the image of God, a woman created in the image of God, but spending their entire life without God, without Christ, and without hope, never thinking some of them for a second about the great plan of redemption, never thinking about the great doctrines of grace, never thinking about the great subject of the Lord's return, the blessed hope. never giving their mind to the doctrines of God's word, but living in the vanity of their mind. You can see in verse 18 the word alienated from the life of God, the word ignorance, the word blindness. That was me before I was saved. That was you before you were saved. Oh, but you've been brought into Christ and you've been saved, regenerated. And what a wonderful thing that now we can give ourselves in our spirit, in our heart, in our mind to the Lord and the things of the Lord. You know, it has been said that theology is the queen of the sciences, because a human being can think and consider nothing greater. Nothing greater. There's nothing greater than the things of the Lord. Nothing greater. I hope you all have at home a copy of the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's not the Bible. It's not inspired. But it sets forth in a doctrinal fashion what we believe the Bible teaches. I tell you, it's food for the mind. Stirs your heart, feeds your mind, blesses your soul. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, there's an awful, well, it's a dirty lie. I was going to say a misrepresentation. It's a dirty lie. And that is the lie that when you get saved, when you become a Christian, you no longer think. Richard Dawkins, he pushes this line. And he considers us all to be doughheads. Do you know what a doughhead is in Belfast? He thinks we're all stupid. He thinks we're all intellectually dead. We no longer think. This is a dirty lie. One of my favorite preachers, and I love to read his sermons, is Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. From Wales, but he preached many years in London. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a medical doctor. He was headed for Harley Street. A very smart man, a very intellectual man. But he was a Christian. He was a preacher. He believed in creation. He believed in the blood of the Lamb. He believed in life after death. He believed in the second coming of the Lord. He believed in the devil. We read that in this chapter. Neither give place to the devil. In fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones says, you can test if a man's an evangelical Christian. Ask him, do you believe in a personal devil? And if he says no, he's not a Christian. But there was, and we could name many others, and they were men of intellect, smart men, men of learning. But they were saved. They believed the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Never you feel one bit put down by that crowd. Oh, I know they can use big words. I have to get the dictionary out to look them up. Can't even pronounce some of them. But it's all a sham. Because my Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Brothers and sisters, you were given in your constitution, God made you in his image, you were given a mind. And I'm not talking here about whether you passed your 11 plus or failed it. We were given a mind. And the whole law of God is summed up in this Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. But because of the fall and because of sin, our minds are darkened, and people live in the vanity of their mind. Their mind that should be focused on the greatness of God, the great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, their mind is upon earthly things that don't matter, that are passing away, and sinful things, corrupt things. Listen, it's great to get a good read at the Bible. And if you find sometimes the Bible hard to understand, well, get good books that explain the Bible and let your mind soar. Let your mind soar into the heavenlies. Let your mind get taken up with God and with the things of God. Now, I want you to come over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What about a dear believer? And I'm sure there's folk in this meeting house this morning, and you know people, maybe in your own family, maybe neighbors, friends, and they're suffering from Alzheimer's, dementia. What about a believer, a Christian believer who walked with the Lord, who sang the hymns, who prayed in the prayer meeting, and today they are in a nursing home somewhere and they don't know their own name. And when family comes, they don't know them. They don't know them. This is a true story. It's humorous, but I suppose we can see humor in many things, but there was a dear lady, and the doctor was trying to ascertain just how far this had gone in her life, and he was asking her various questions, what's the day's date, and she didn't know. Do you remember what your husband's first name is? And she didn't know. And then her daughter said, Mommy, tell the doctor what happened in 1690. Oh, that was King William at the Battle of the Boyne. And she knew that. But you know, seriously, there are people in nursing homes today and they don't know their own name. And how does that correspond with this? Be renewed in your mind. And how is it with those folk? You know, here's the wonderful thing. Look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And this is very real because I don't know how I'll end my days on this earth. Maybe I'll be sitting in the corner of some nursing home and I don't know my own name. But look at Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You know what's great and what's encouraging and what fills my heart with assurance? If I'm ever in the position where I'm sitting in the corner of some nursing home and don't know my own name, God knows my name. God knows my name. Look at that. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke's Gospel chapter 10. The 70 had gone out and they came back rejoicing because they said to the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And the Lord Jesus said in Luke 10 and verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Not wonderful? Fella, maybe someday, I don't know, but maybe someday somebody will hand me a sheet of paper and they'll say, write your name, and maybe I can't remember it. Maybe it's lost in the fog of this awful disease, but my name's written down in heaven. My name's written down in heaven. Look at Philippians chapter 4. The book of Philippians and the chapter 4. And verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you remember that high priest in Israel? We have a model. Mrs. Johnson made it, really. And Mr. Johnson takes it round and does the week of Bible study on it. And it sits in one of the rooms in our church. Beautiful thing. And you know, as that high priest put on those garments of beauty and glory, he bore on his breast a plate with the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes and their names engraved on the stones. Thank God my name is on the Savior's heart. On the Savior's heart. And because I know and I believe that your mind is related to your soul and to your spirit, I would encourage you to remember this. Just because someone in that condition may not be able to really communicate much with us does not mean that they're not communicating with the Lord and that the Lord is not communicating with them. Because remember, what is heaven? The intermediate state when a believer dies. Now we go to the place of the spirits of just men made perfect. Brothers and sisters, we've just been thinking here and considering the mind. And let me draw a few conclusions as we close. We have a mind because God made us so. A human being is not at the top of an evolutionary scale. Though even evolutionists admit that the human is at the top. But a human being is at the top because he was made in God's image. When I'm driving out the country and I'm passing a field full of cows, and there's an old cow or a young cow, and it's standing there in the field, just standing there chewing the cud. And it stands there all day and it chews the cud. Do you think it thinks much about things? Do you think that old cow is thinking to itself, I wonder, does the earth go round the sun, or does the sun go round the earth? If you've a wee fishbowl sitting on a dresser at home, and there's a couple of goldfish inside it, and they're swimming about, do you think them wee fish are saying the one to the other, I wonder where all them critters came from that keep looking into this wee fishbowl? No, the animal creation and the brute creation made by God, wonderfully made by God. But you see, the difference is this. We are not only wonderfully made, we are fearfully made. Why are we fearfully made? We're made in God's image. We're made for God, to fellowship with God, and we're made for eternity, whether it be heaven or whether it be hell. Let it be heaven. So you have a mind, but your mind in the fallen sinful state is lost in the vanity of this life and this world without God. But when you're born again, regenerated, your mind is lifted. Your mind is lifted. Oh, but we have a responsibility then, as we live the Christian life, to be renewed in our mind. The devil in this age is in an all-out war through media, through communications, to grab our minds. To grab our minds. Brothers and sisters, let us not, as it says in that verse, give place to the devil. Let's give the Lord our mind. You know, if you think of your mind like Buckingham Palace, I've never been in Buckingham Palace, but you think of your mind and it's a palace with all these rooms, and you've things you store in all these rooms. You store information, and you store your national insurance number, and you store your mobile phone number, and you store your landline number, and you store this, and you're going out shopping and you store your shopping list, and you think, and you've all these things stored in your mind. And then what you learn coming up through school, maybe some of you think they're so far back there somewhere I can never find them, but they're in these rooms. But here's the thing. You see the things of the Lord, you see the scriptures of truth, put them in the best room in the house. Keep the best room, the front room, for the things of God, so that they're easily recalled, so that they're always to the forefront. Biblical Christianity includes the mind. That's what I'm saying. Biblical Christianity is not just emotionalism, and thank God for true emotion. The two on the road to Emmaus, the greatest Bible study ever held, and there was only three, the Lord Jesus and the two on the road to Emmaus. And Christ opened the scriptures and opened their understanding. What a Bible study. What a Bible study that was. Give the Lord your mind and keep the best things to the front of your mind, the best room in the house. Give those things to the Lord. Other things, well, put them back a bit. Sinful things, well, plead the blood. Seek to keep them from our minds. But brothers and sisters, let us, this is a day, I tell you, this is a day when we need to be renewing our minds daily. Because the eye catches so many things, the ear hears so many things, the imagination can be taken up with so many things that are vain, that are sinful. Do you ever wonder why God gave us a book? Why did God give us a book? You know, I suppose God could have waited all these years and give us a DVD or a CD. God gave us a book. Because what do you do with a book? You read it. Your mind is engaged. And here's what happens as we read the precious word of God and it goes into our mind, it stirs our heart. It moves our heart. It feeds our soul. It quickens our will. In other words, the whole Bible is for the whole man, for the whole of life. But set and stay your mind upon Jehovah. May God bless these thoughts, and may we be encouraged, and may we give the Lord our mind in our Christian living.